Okay, so in Erev Shabbos, we talk about the Midah of Emes, of the Midah of Emes, and how it's important on three levels. Number one, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all of reality, and all of reality is Emes, so if you're dishonest, you're just not in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interpersonally, people like authenticity, that's how you build relationships. You're dishonest, and there's no trust, that cripples relationships. And then, of course, self-knowledge, to know yourself and to know how to grow, rather than creating false narratives. And I quoted to you a quote, we lie loudest when we lie to ourselves. So the big question is, how do you become a more honest person? How do you become more honest? How do you become more authentic? How do you become more truthful? So, first of all, as I keep saying, traits are best absorbed through your environment and osmosis through people. So when you choose your friends, these are some of the traits you want to find. And if you feel you're struggling with honesty, and with authenticity, with self-knowledge, then it pays to find friends who are just more honest. You have to find that in a spouse, you have to find people who are honest, and then you'll learn that trait of honesty. But there are two or three deterrents to honesty. And when I say deterrents, what I mean is as follows. A child doesn't know how to lie. A child is blissfully honest, has no inhibitions. Older people also don't really lie as much because they have less inhibitions. And when I say older people, I mean much, much older elderly people. So there's something about life, there's a pressure that happens in our world that causes us to be dishonest. If we're able to identify those pressures and neutralize them or not cave to them, we're less likely to be dishonest with ourselves or with others. So what forces us in life to be dishonest? So there are two or three things. First of all, when we feel like we failed ourselves or other people, we have one of two choices. We could either say, I'm not a failure, but I failed. I'm not perfect. Or I can create a false narrative to explain why I'm still perfect and I can function justification or... happens a lot with people when they go off the derech. What happens is they get into a place where they're not performing well, and they're not davening properly, and they're not keeping mitzvahs properly. So they've got two choices. Either to say I'm a failure, or not a failure, but I'm struggling, and I'm not as everything I'm cracked up to be. Or just say God doesn't exist, and to pin the blame on someone. Because that retains the invulnerability and the perfect narrative of yourself. So if you're a humble person, and you just accept the fact that you're going to fail in life, and you made a mistake, it's easier to be honest. You just say, okay, I did something wrong. No big problem. I mean, to be a human being is to make mistakes. So when you're at that crossroads where you're looking at your failures, you've got two choices. You can either accept your failures, or you can try to create a false narrative to maintain that script that you're perfect and to find some other reason to describe your failures. The Tosefta says that Yehuda was a very humble person. How do we see Yehuda's humility? We don't really see him acting in a very modest, humble way. He's not arrogant. He's humble when he said, Tzadka mimeni, when he confesses his guilt. But that's not humility, that's honesty. His humility drives his honesty, and that's why he's appointed the leader, according to this Tosefta in Sanhedrin. Because he's such an anav, so he's able to accept the public ridicule rather than creating, in this case, a very, very hostile and manipulative false narrative which would indict another woman, or at least quietly let her take her secret to her grave. So probably humility and all these traits, unlike sugyas, when we learn sugyas, we try to cordon off ideas, this category, brisker categories, with traits, they all bleed onto each other. All these traits feed each other, which is why I'm trying to get down to the baseline of human identity, honesty, lack of sarcasm, lack of anger. So one way is, one thing which deters honesty is the fear of failure or the fear of conceding our own imperfection to ourselves or to others. Sometimes we lie because we failed someone, we failed to serve someone's needs, we didn't follow the instructions of our spouse, of our parents, so it's easier to lie, oh, I did it, rather than just say, you know what, I'd rather be honest. The second issue that tries to cloud our honesty is opinion. What do I mean opinion? When you have strongly held opinions, so you tend to shoot an arrow and then draw the target rather than being intellectually honest with yourself. So that could happen in Gemara, or in learning, or in ideology, or in politics. And that's why it's very important to learn how to find people that write honestly. It's important to have intellectual honesty in life, especially in areas that may not be obvious. So when math equation, without intellectual honesty, it's a joke. You know, there's either one right answer, one wrong answer, many wrong answers, one right answer. Without honesty, you'll never... But what about opinion and politics and Ashkafa or running a sugya or a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or even with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's very important to say, look, all the information we have speak about dinosaurs that 50 million years ago. That's against the Torah, but I'd rather be intellectually honest and say I don't understand, rather than reshape reality so that it accords with my, in this case, very important ideology. I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There's some answer out there as to how the world's 5,780 years old. But if I abdicate my intellectual honesty, then ironically, even though I'm trying to defend that Kodesh Baruch Hu in my relationship, I'm moving away from Kodesh Baruch Hu because falseness and dishonesty is contagious. So if I deny dinosaurs, if I deny fossils, so basically you think it's a firm move. It's not a firm move because you're turning someone into a dishonest person. It's harder to feel a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't believe the world is 50 million years old. There's Akasha there. There's archaeological evidence of 50 million years old, but I don't know how to process it yet. I'd rather be... So it's very important to be intellectually honest, to find people intellectually honest, to state your opinions with intellectual honesty. Sometimes people get into these shouting matches about their opinions, their politics. They're off to the races. They're not listening to each other. We live in a world of polarized politics today. People just don't listen. There's ideas on the other side of the spectrum. It's important to find people that write. I love this. There's this columnist for the New York Times called David Brooks. And every word is metered and every word is honest. He has his opinions, but they don't really come. It's really important to write balanced and honest and two different sides of the equation, to find people that write that way. And part of it is covered up, Rios. If you want to accept another person's opinion, you have to respect people. This is where all these traits bleed into each other. If you respect other people, then, oh my goodness, they're a Democrat, or oh my goodness, they read Haaretz. So there's opinions there also. People leading meaningful lives with meaningful ideas, with moral values, who just have opinions different from yours. So it's important to read, not propaganda, but to read carefully. You can tell. I mean, at this point in my life, I can tell when someone's writing an agenda-based position or someone's being honest. And by the way, this is my opinion, but just because you're writing honestly doesn't mean you don't have to express your opinion. But if you smother and you basically sabotage any other truth, then that's a dishonest presentation. So I think that sometimes opinion gets in the way of our honesty because we have very, very, not just we're afraid to admit our failures, but we are so strongly committed to our positions that we can't be honest in our proceedings. I think the third thing that tends us to be dishonest is public opinion. We want people to see us in a certain way. So we're dishonest either when we're protecting against our failures, in Yehuda's case, and we have to lie to keep up that double life so that people will look at us in a certain way, or because we want to lie because we want to advance our reputation. We want people to look at us in a different way, so we exaggerate the truth and we brag about things we may not have done. A lot of dishonesty isn't just telling outright lies, but it's bragging and it's inflating the truth and it's exaggerating the truth. We exaggerate the truth when we want to try to build our reputation. And this goes back to what I spoke about a few weeks ago about simcha. If you're a happy person, you don't feel that you have to, you feel content enough in your own space and aligned enough in your own life. You don't really need other people's opinion about you. I was sharing with some of the, the other night. It was an old phrase. At 20, I really cared about what people thought about me. At 40, I stopped caring about what people said about me. At 60, they don't speak about me anymore. I don't have to worry about it anymore. So to get into the space where you're not really dependent upon compliments and people's opinion, it's a very important thing to get to, that you're not, it's called self-esteem. Self-esteem means you're proud of yourself, and you don't need external validation. I can't take that too far, because sometimes in life it's important to be in situations where you accept external validation and you take compliments and you give compliments. If I had to write my top five flaws as a Rebbe, this would be like at the top. I don't give compliments enough. I don't give positive. I try to become someone who doesn't like compliments because I know how corrosive it can be. But then it's not so good because you have to give people positive feedback and say you did a good job and give yashkoach. And so those are three ways to prevent the introduction of falsehood. Again, we all start our lives very honest because Hashem created us. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, so we can't be dishonest because Hashem is reality. So, and then all of a sudden, life sets in and we're pressured, and maybe other pressures in your life that cause you to be dishonest, not just with other people, again, with yourself, about why you can't look at yourself and say, well, I failed. How can I be a better person? Why am I defending myself against myself? Why am I building narratives against introspection? It tends to be because at least three of them are: we're afraid to admit that we're imperfect. The second you get past that, you just say, I'm imperfect, a lot gets released. A lot of the blockage gets released. You say, no, okay, I'm imperfect. How to become a better person? I'll never be a perfect person, but I don't want to try to be. And here's the next thing I want to work on. The second issue is opinion. We have strong, strong, passionate opinions that can create a bit of an obfuscation of the truth. And then the third thing, I think, is that we're interested in how people see us, so you tell a lot of, or you act dishonestly in order to win their approval or to win their perspectives, when don't be afraid just to be yourself. And if people accept you, they do. If they don't, they don't. But it shouldn't be so formative in your identity. Okay? So tomorrow, I think we'll talk about maybe either Shmiras HaLashon or Kavod HaBriyos. I'm not sure which is more basic. They're all pretty basic. And then we'll get to some of the other traits, but these are traits which these core level traits feed, like Zrizos and discipline and care and question. But I think the core is these five or six personality traits. Okay? Have a good week, everyone. Shabbat Tov.